Thanks. Can you hear me? Great. So, as Mike said, today I'm talking about the third of our eight values, which is openness and obedience to the Holy Spirit. And as soon as I say Holy Spirit, some of you may be thinking, right, this is where the crazy stuff comes in. But let's rather than that, let's say supernatural stuff rather than crazy stuff. I think it's a bit better. I only said crazy stuff because I know it's what some of you were thinking. But going to that straight, that thought of crazy or supernatural stuff can be the thinking of a lot of Christians whenever they hear the Holy Spirit mentioned. And they can fall maybe into two groups. The first group are those who really like the supernatural stuff. They want the power of the Holy Spirit for tongues and prophecy and miracles and all those signs and wonders and actually become their focus rather than God, which is actually idolatry. And some of you may have even experienced being in meetings where people are calling on the Holy Spirit to come or saying the Holy Spirit is here with that specific intention of trying to make supernatural things happen, kind of chasing an experience rather than actually chasing God. In fact, in our Pentecostal tradition, we've probably been the worst for that. For some, the supernatural stuff has been so important that there's been many people who'd say, if you don't speak in tongues, then you don't have the Holy Spirit, so you're not a Christian. There are some who still believe that now, though thankfully it's less in the Pentecostal tradition. And just to be clear, we don't believe that you have to speak in tongues or you're not a Christian. But it's good to speak in tongues. Anyway, the second group we're talking about, they're the ones who don't like the supernatural stuff at all. It scares them. They want God, but they don't want any supernatural stuff going on. No signs or wonders. Their attitude to the Trinity is a bit like that Meatloaf song, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. God and Jesus are fine, but you don't need the Holy Spirit to be a Christian. I think that both groups do the Holy Spirit a huge disservice, as though the Holy Spirit is kind of the cabaret magic act of the Trinity. I want to look at what Jesus actually said about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 15 to 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. See Jesus here using this word advocate to describe the Holy Spirit. This is from the Greek word parakletos, which as well as advocate can also be translated as say intercessor, helper or comforter. It means to be called to someone's side, similar like to a defense lawyer, for example. And that's who the Holy Spirit is, our helper, our comforter, someone who's there by our side. And any of the supernatural stuff that comes with that is only in service of that being our help and comfort. And this is why our third value is openness and obedience to the Holy Spirit, because we want to be open and obedient to the one who is there to help be our help, to be our comfort, to be by our side. And the Holy Spirit cannot do that. It cannot help us if we are not open to him and if we're not ready to follow and obey. It will be difficult, as Mike's already talked about, with the limits on time, to spend some time looking at openness and then an obedience separately without going on way too long. So I think I'm going to take a bit of a shortcut by bringing them down to a single word that I think sums them both up, and that's trust. Now, that doesn't mean that I think our value should just be trust the Holy Spirit. As I said before, we look carefully at the wording of these values, and we're using the words openness and obedience for a reason. So openness is about first giving the Holy Spirit access to your life and listening to his voice. And then obedience is about following and complying with what the Holy Spirit then says to you. Both come down to trust. Are you willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit says? And then following that, are you willing to do what the Holy Spirit tells you? When I read those verses from John 14 before, started in verse 15 with Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commands. So Jesus starts by talking about, Jesus then goes on to talk about God sending us the Holy Spirit. And it's not like a sudden change of subject, going from keeping his commands to now the Holy Spirit, because the two things are completely linked. Jesus knows that if he asked us to keep his commands without giving us any help, then it'd be completely impossible for us. Let's face it, we find it difficult enough with the Holy Spirit. Imagine how difficult it'd be without him. But if we're being honest with ourselves, we know that the more in step with the Holy Spirit we are in our lives, the easier we find it to keep Jesus' commands as he asked us to. And I think the best human example of what our relationship with the Holy Spirit should look like is considering an ideal parent-child relationship. I know not everyone here has experienced being a parent, but you've all experienced being a child and being brought up, if not by a parent or parents, then some other guardian. And it may not have been an ideal relationship, but hopefully it's something you can relate to for everyone here. So as a parent, you want your child to listen to you, which is essentially that openness. And then you want your children to do whatever you ask them to, because obedience. And the extent to which children will listen and obey comes down to how much they trust their parents. And it's exactly the same for us with the Holy Spirit. The extent to which we're going to listen to and follow the Holy Spirit, the extent to which we're open and obedient to the Holy Spirit, comes down to how much we trust the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference, of course, and it's that no parent, however good they are, is 100% trustworthy. All parents are fallible, hopefully doing their best as parents, but making mistakes and learning as they go. Speak to any parent who's had more than one child, and they will tell you how they parented each child differently because of what they learned from parenting their previous child or children. That's not the case with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not fallible. The Holy Spirit is not learning as he goes. The Holy Spirit is not practicing on you to get better for helping other people in the future. The Holy Spirit doesn't just want us to be open to him and obey him because, well, he's doing his best to give us the best advice he can. And he thinks his ideas might be better than ours sometimes. We're talking about the Spirit of the one true God, our Creator, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who gives us life and knows how to live life. And he's not a God who just looks down from on high, telling us that he knows best without any experience of what it means to be human either. Hebrews 4:15 tells us, we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Whatever situations we face, we have a God who understands what we are going through because he chose to come to earth to experience being human. Yet he didn't make the mistakes we do. He showed us how to live. When people want to learn to do something, they go to people who are better than them at that thing and ask those people to train them. For example, I teach maths for a living because I'm good at maths. And thing is, while I know more about maths than the students, so I'm able to teach them, I'm not perfect at maths. It doesn't disqualify me from being a teacher, though, because no one in this world is perfect at maths or anything else. My students aren't going to leave me to find a mathematician who never makes mistakes because they don't exist. So it doesn't matter what you want to learn. There's no perfect teacher out there because no one's perfect at anything. And we all accept that. And we're happy to learn from talented yet imperfect people on all manner of subjects. And yet there is one topic where we do have a perfect teacher available. And it's the biggest, most important thing we could ever learn about, how best to live our lives. And yet still so often we think we know better. Jesus came as God incarnate and lived on the earth without sinning. For over 30 years, of a single mistake. I struggled to go 30 minutes. I should have realized by now that following my own instincts is not a good life plan. genomatos, the heart is deceitful above all things. I should realize I need to trust the guy who lived a perfect life and can make better decisions than me. Whether or not I trust the Holy Spirit is the difference between saying to God, you are the Lord of my life and I will do your will, or saying, well, thanks for that eternal life. I'll see you again in heaven when I die. And obviously, they're the two extremes of it. We tend to live somewhere in between. But our deceitful hearts, they're very good at compartmentalizing. Lord, you are in charge of my life, apart from my finances. Lord, I give you everything except my love life. I'm in charge there. Lord, you give me some great advice, but I'm not sure you always know the right thing to do. That little red guy with the pitchfork sat on my shoulder, he's got some interesting ideas too. I might listen to him now and again. When we had our last teaching team meeting, I told everyone that while we were preaching on these core values, we should always link them to the mission statement, as the whole point of the core values is to help us achieve our mission. So I better mention it myself. In case you've forgotten, our mission statement is to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. And I mention it now, not because I told the teaching team we have to, because it does fit here. Because if we really want to be a habitation of God's presence, we cannot be compartmentalizing like that, giving God lordship of only certain areas of our life. We cannot be living lives where God is in charge of some areas but not others. Because if we're only going to allow God to have control of certain areas of our lives, we're not asking him to inhabit us. We're just asking him to come and visit when it suits us. And that's why this value of openness and obedience to the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to our mission. Because being fully open and obeying the Holy Spirit is that difference between God inhabiting us and just being a visitor. And you may be finding listening to this challenging. And I certainly found it challenging to write and deliver. But a mission statement and values that weren't challenging would be worthless. And so as I'm challenging us to all be open and obedient to the Holy Spirit, I want to finish with just what I think should be our starting point right now. Because if you want to be more open to the Holy Spirit, and I hope you do, we have to be seeking God and listening to his voice. Now, hearing God's voice, that's not just another sermon, that's a whole other series. But as a starting point, I think we need to go back to the first two core values we had sermons on the last couple of weeks. But as well as being deliberate in how we worded these values, we were deliberate in the order of them as well. And before we got to openness and obedience to the Holy Spirit, we've heard about intimacy with God in prayer and delighting in the Bible. Because you cannot be open to the Holy Spirit's voice without seeking that voice through intimacy in prayer and reading the Bible. If you're not doing those things, you're not going to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. And then when we have that openness, you're doing those things and seeking God, obedience has to follow from that. As we become more open to the Holy Spirit, we're not only going to gain greater clarity on where we need to obey, but we're also going to feel conviction about areas of our life where we're not obeying as we should. And that's really where the hardest part of Christianity comes in, when we feel that conviction and will we choose to do what we know we should. Because each time we make those decisions to obey or not, we are actually choosing to become more or less open to the Holy Spirit in future. And whenever we make the decisions not to obey, we're hardening our hearts to the Holy Spirit. As we read before in John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. Then in the next chapter, we see Jesus talking about the vine and the branches, which I won't go through the whole thing for the sake of time. Just in verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. apart from me, you can do nothing. Openness and obedience is just making that choice to remain daily in all our choices, to attach ourselves to Jesus. It's one of those things, it sounds incredibly simple in theory. It's a little more difficult in practice, maybe. Maybe a lot more difficult. But it's what we were created for, to remain in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is our that paracletos, that advocate who's there to guide us in that, if we'll just open our lives to him. So I just want to finish by praying. Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be open to you today, that just to receive your Holy Spirit, to be filled by your Holy Spirit, not because we want to look for signs and wonders, but because we want to seek you, Lord, because we want more of you in our lives, because we want your guidance in our lives day by day, moment by moment, in each choice we make, each action we make, each word we say. We want to be guided by you. We want to be open to you and obedient to you, Spirit, Lord. Just pray in this week ahead that we will just be more receptive to you, be wanting to really focus on you and seek you, and that you will obviously respond to that and just help us in each decision we make, and just help us draw closer to you and become who you created us to be more and more. Amen. Thanks, guys.